Well, I invite you now to take hold of your Bible and turn with me as you have since the month of May to the second book in the Bible. That's the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 28 is where we've worked our way up to. And God, in His providential sovereign timetable, has a special passage of Scripture for our study on this All Saints Day. It's no accident that you're here today. It's no accident that we're looking at Exodus chapter 28 today. I invite you to take hold also of your worship pages. Follow the listening guide there as we look together at this subject, Jesus, our high priest, in Exodus chapter 28. God speaks to Moses, the leader of Israel, in verse 1, giving this special instruction. Exodus 28, verse 1. Now take Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as priest. And as I have indicated before, every time we open the Bible, even in the Old Testament, especially here in the book of Exodus, we see Jesus on every page. And that's what we see here on Exodus chapter 28, is we see a description of the high priest. Because that's what the New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verse 1 says about Jesus. It says that He is our high priest. And as such, according to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, He sympathizes with us. Isn't that a wonderful thought? On this Sunday, when we remember those who have gone on ahead of us, our hearts, in many cases, are still grieving because our loved one, our dear one, is no longer with us. We can't deny our humanity. Jesus didn't even do that. When his good friend Lazarus died, the shortest scripture in the Bible, Jesus wept, showed us his humanity, showed us that he was grieving, that he was mourning. If Jesus, the Son of God, could mourn at a time when someone died, we should not deny our humanity. We should grieve. We should cry. And we should know that Jesus is our high priest, according to Hebrews 4:15, sympathizes with us. He's not aloof. He's not detached. He's not some abstract God way out here that doesn't care about us. When you are hurting, Jesus is concerned, and he sympathizes with you. Oh, what a wonderful high priest we have. Still in that New Testament book of Hebrews, in the 7th chapter, the 24th verse, it says that Jesus is our high priest, continues forever. He has an unchangeable priesthood. Oh, dear friend, Jesus is not a part-time priest. He's on duty all the time, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. So when you wake up in the middle of the night at 2 a.m. and your heart is breaking and you feel like you're all alone, you know that Jesus is on duty. He's right there with you. The Bible says he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. If you draw near to him, he's going to draw near unto you. Again, in that New Testament book of Hebrews, the 7th chapter, verse 25, it says that he, Jesus, our high priest, lives to always make intercession for us. It's a wonderful thing to know that someone is praying for you. Many of you have indicated over the 4 years I've been here that you pray for me every day. I can't tell you what that does for me. It's like gold to me to know that I have people in this church, in this community, in my family that pray for me every day. But even better than that, according to Hebrews 7:25, Jesus, my high priest, prays for me constantly and continually. He is my one and only mediator. I don't need another priest between me and God. All I need is Jesus Christ, according to Hebrews 7:25. Again, in that wonderful book of Hebrews, still talking about Jesus as our high priest, in the 8th chapter, the 1st verse, it says that he is seated at the right hand of the throne in majesty in the heavens. Amy and I were walking last night, and it's our discipline as we walk to pray. We pray for our neighbors. We pray for situations in our personal life, in our family life, and in our church. And we lifted up this worship service today. And my constant prayer, and I just repeated again last night, is God, through the singing, God, through the praying, God, through the preaching, we pray that you'll be lifted up, that you'll be glorified. I don't want people to see me. I don't want people to see this wonderful choir and orchestra. I don't want people to see each other and what they're wearing and who they're sitting with. I want people to see God. And I just pray that we will reach a point in our corporate worship that we will not be satisfied until we have seen God high and lifted up in majesty and enthroned at the right hand of God the Father. And then in Hebrews 9, verse 11, speaking about Jesus, our high priest, it says, "But Christ came as high priest of good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands." And here these last few Sundays, we've been in this tabernacle series in the book of Exodus. We've seen the construction of the tabernacle. We've seen the different components of the tabernacle. And now we come to Exodus chapter 28, and we see that special person that will minister in the tabernacle complex. He is the priest. It was to be Aaron and his sons. And in Exodus chapter 28, we read about the vestments of the priest. We read about how that priest is to be attired, what kind of robe he's supposed to have on, and all the accessories to that robe. And just reading through Exodus 28, you might think, boy, this is drier than dust. This is some of the most boring reading I think I've ever done in my life. But it's exciting when you see Jesus in every verse. Because as we see the robe of the high priest as it's described in Exodus chapter 28, and as we see the accessories on that robe, we see in symbol and prepicture the ministry of Jesus, our high priest, to us, especially when we're hurting, especially when we're grieving. I want you to notice three things there in your listening guide, beginning with verse number 9. When we look at this high priest's robe and what was on it, we see, number one, he does not forget us. Looking there at Exodus chapter 28, verse 9, it says, "Then you shall take two onyx stones and engrave on them the names of the sons of Israel." Skip down to verse 12. Exodus 28, verse 12. "And you shall put the two stones on the shoulders of the ephod." Let me just explain what the ephod is. It is the outer garment that the priest wore. It was his tunic. And so you got the picture? He has this outer garment, this tunic, and you were to take these two onyx stones that have on them engraved the names of the people of God, and they're to affix them to the shoulders of this ephod or this robe. Reading again, verse 12, "And you shall put two stones on the shoulders of the ephod as memorial stones for the sons of Israel." Perhaps the most famous memorial stone in these United States of America is the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Wall. Many of you have been there. Many of you have gone and found on that stone wall the name of a loved one. And with your own finger placed in the engraved letters, you have lovingly traced the name of that loved one as tears fell from your eyes. There at the base of that memorial stone with those engraved names, you've left photos, you've left letters, you've left cards, you've left flowers. Why? Why did you do that? To say, "I have not forgotten you. And God has not forgotten you. And our grateful country has not forgotten you." Think also of perhaps the most visible memorial stone here in Noonan. You've driven by it countless times on Jefferson Street, not far from this church. As you have driven by there, you've noticed the tallest tombstone in Oak Hill Cemetery. It looks like the Washington Monument with the drape over the top of it. It's an obelisk, and it has a pall draped over the top of it, and you can clearly see who is buried beneath that memorial stone, because from your own car, you can see the large letters Hall, H-A-L-L. But you don't know who that is, do you? It's Dr. James Hamilton Hall. He was the pastor of this church for 27 years, from 1870 to 1897. He left here and pastored Central Baptist Church from 1897 until his death in 1903. And whenever I drive by that obelisk, the tallest memorial stone in the Oak Hill Cemetery, I remember Dr. Hall, and I think about him. I think about his ministry here. I think about his joys, about his triumphs, about his heartaches and his heartbreaks. And there's at least one person in Coweta County that has not forgotten him. We remember him because of the memorial stone that's placed there and because of the life and the legacy that's left to so many of us. In recent days, in recent months, many of you have sat or stood at a special memorial stone, the burial place of a loved one. You've lingered there and you've thought, and why do we do that? We know that if they're a believer, they're not there. The Bible says that to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. In the moment that they drew their last breath, they were in the presence of Jesus according to the promise of God. Why do we go to these special places and sit there and stand and look at that memorial stone with the name of our loved one engraved there? I'll tell you why we do. We're saying to them, I have not forgotten you. I remember you. And more than that, God, our high priest, remembers you. Just yesterday afternoon, I took my family, Amy and our two teenage boys, to about 50 miles from here in a little community called Stark. And I showed the boys and Amy for the first time their great, 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 great grandfather's burial place. Henry Lee. He was born in 1739, fought under General George Washington in the Revolutionary War. As a senior adult, came to Georgia, was given 202 acres in the Georgia land lottery. I told the boys and Amy, when he came to Georgia, it wasn't like this. There wasn't houses, there weren't asphalt roads. It was wild country, filled with Native Americans. And he donated some of his property to a church that's worshiping this very morning, the Macedonia Baptist Church. He'd never been scripturally baptized in his 80s, never been scripturally baptized. And as a senior adult, well advanced in years, was baptized in obedience to God's command. We stood there yesterday afternoon, and I said to Amy and to my two boys, I hope you'll never forget your ancestor. This memorial stone is here so that we'll always remember his life, his legacy, his sacrifice. He's not only remembered by us, but he's remembered by God. You know, the first memorial stone in all of human history is in Genesis chapter 35. Remember Jacob in the Old Testament? Jacob was traveling with his family, and his wife Rachel, whom he loved so much, was giving birth to Benjamin, and it was in the process of childbirth that Rachel drew her last breath and she died. And there in Genesis chapter 35, out of love and dedication to his wife, Jacob lifted the first memorial stone ever in human history. He did it as a tribute to her. He did it to say, I have not forgotten you. These boys that you have given me have not forgotten you, and God has not forgotten you. That's why we have these memorial stones. Let it be known from this place this morning that Jesus, our high priest, has not forgotten us. He has not forgotten you. He has not forgotten your loved one. When everyone else forgets, when the phone calls stop, when people stop sending cards and letters, when people stop visiting, Jesus has not forgotten. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And that's why this special instruction was given for the high priest in Exodus chapter 28. God was saying, as you minister to my people, I want you to take these two stones, engrave their names on the stones, then affix them to your garment as a memorial, knowing that I will never forget and that Jesus, our high priest, never forgets. But there's something else here. Pick up reading where I left off in verse 12, because we see in this special attire that the high priest had that he not only remembers us, but he also carries us. Where was he to put these memorial stones? Well, read it with me, middle of verse 12. So Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord on his two shoulders as a memorial. Where was the high priest Aaron to carry the names, the engraved names on these two stones? On his shoulders. A picture of the fact that our high priest carries us. He bears our burden. When we're going through the valley of the shadow of death and we don't think we can take one more step, Jesus, our high priest, says, let me lift the load from you. Let me take that concern. Let me take that heartache and that heartbreak, because that's what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. He bore our cross there to Calvary. He lifted the burden from us. That's what Isaiah the prophet said he would do. Over in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 4, it says, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. A dear friend who's lost your loved one, Jesus is carrying your burden. And more than that, he's carrying you. The Bible says in Psalm 55, verse 22, that you should cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. Peter, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in 1 Peter 5, 7, says, casting your care upon him because he cares for you. Peter again in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, says that Jesus bore our sins in his own body on the cross. Is that wonderful scriptural promise that led songwriter Scott Wesley Brown to pen these words, if you'll indulge me. There's no problem too big that God cannot solve it. There's no mountain too tall that God cannot move it. There's no storm too dark that God cannot calm it. There's no sorrow too deep that he cannot soothe it. If he carried the weight of the world on his shoulders, I know, my brother, that he can carry you. If he carried the weight of the world on his shoulders, I know, my sister, that he can carry you. For he said, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Oh, Jesus, our high priest, wants to bear our burden. And so my advice to you is stop trying to carry the load by yourself. Cast your cares upon him. Your high priest wants to hold you up and sustain you and carry you through life's difficulties. But when I look here in this 28th chapter and the garment that the priest was supposed to wear and the accessories on that garment, I see that he not only remembers us, he doesn't forget us. I see that he not only carries us, but in verse 29, I see there that he loves us. Well, I hope you'll look at verse 29. It's beautiful. So Aaron shall bear the names, it says, of the sons of Israel on the breastplate of judgment over his heart when he goes into the holy place as a memorial before the Lord continually. Now, wait a minute, preacher. You just read in verses 9 and 12 that they were supposed to engrave the names of the people of God on these two onyx stones and put them on the priest's shoulders. But now you're saying they're supposed to take a different kind of stone, in fact, 12 stones, and engrave the names again on those stones, but don't place them on the priest's shoulder this time. Place them over his heart. You know what that says to me? That says to me that God not only has you on his mind, verse 9, and on his shoulders, verse 12, but he has you on his heart, verse 29. He loves you. He cares for you. When it seemed like nobody else cares, no one else is concerned, we know that we have a high priest, and our names have been written upon his heart. And how long was this supposed to happen? Last word for those of you reading in the New American Standard, New King James, or King James is the word continually. If you're reading from the NIV, it says it's supposed to be a continuing memorial. This breastplate with these names engraved on these stones over the priest's heart. You see, again, the priest is not part-time in his love for you. Jesus doesn't just love you until you mess up. But according to the Word of God, he constantly and continually loves you. And the greatest promise in the Bible, Romans 5:8, is that God commends his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you'd been the only lost person in all of human history, Jesus would have come to die for you and for you alone. And that love will sustain you throughout your life as he continually, constantly expresses his love and his concern for us. Now I want to show you something very interesting. You got your Bible open there to Exodus chapter 28. The 12 stones that had the names of the people of God engraved upon them are described for us. They were 12 different colored stones. And we read about what the first stone was in verse 17. I want you to find the name of the first stone, the first of those 12 stones, in verse 17. Look at it there every day. And you shall put settings of stones in it, four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardius, a sardius. You know what color sardius is? Red. Reminds us of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that he loved us so much that he died on the cross of Calvary so that we could have the forgiveness of sins. Now here's something that's very interesting. Find the last of those 12 stones. It's in verse 17. The last of, or actually verse 20, I should say. In the fourth row, a beryl, an onyx, and here's the last stone, a jasper. Now, I'm no jeweler, but I know that jasper today, we think of an opaque stone. But the jasper that's described in the last book of the Bible is clear. It is crystal, reminding us of the purity and the sinlessness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, for those of you that want to go a little deeper with me, lose your place here in the book of Exodus and go with me to the last book of the Bible. The last book of the Bible. Revelation and chapter 2. Boy, it's great hearing those pages turn. Music to any Bible preacher's ears. I'm such a blessed man to have people that don't take my word for it. You bring your Bible into church. You bring your brain into church. And you study to show yourself approved. You make sure that I'm teaching you from God's word. Revelation chapter 2, or 4, I should say, Revelation chapter 4, in verse 2. Now, let me tell you why I'm having you turn here to Revelation chapter 4. It's because this is a description of heaven. It is a glimpse of glory. And these names that are listed here on this banner, these loved ones that we have that have gone on ahead of us, and many of you also have loved ones that you're still grieving for, well, let me tell you, grieve no longer for them, because they are seeing what I'm fixing to read to you in Revelation chapter 4, verse 2. This is a vision. This is what they are seeing in heaven. I preached Kathy Lowry's funeral service here last Thursday. She is in heaven right now looking at what I'm fixing to read to you about. Revelation 4, verse 2. John says, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Who is that one? Jesus, our high priest. Oh, but look at this. Look at verse 3. And he who sat there was like a jasper. You remember reading about the jasper? It's the last of the stones on the priest's breastplate. But not just jasper, and a sardius stone. Remember reading about that stone? It was the first one on the priest's breastplate. Oh, dear friend, here is the glorious message of Almighty God. Even in heaven's court, we are on his heart. God's people are engraved upon the heart of Jesus, our high priest. We're not only engraved upon his heart throughout our daily life on this side of the river, but we have total and complete assurance that we are not only on his heart, but that we are in him, according to Revelation chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. I thank God for Brenda Clifton. She's a wonderful minister of children, and she shared with us just a few days ago on a Wednesday night. We had many of our children and adults over here in the historic sanctuary about how many years ago she went to Romania on a mission trip. And they went to a Romanian orphanage, and there Brenda met a little Romanian girl named Livia. And Livia just fell in love with Brenda, so much to the point that when Brenda had to leave the orphanage, Livia ran after her and was holding on to her, not wanting her to leave. The interesting thing about this story is that sometime afterward, another lady from our area, from our county, named Connie Satterfield, who was a member at Sunrise Church, a mission of First Baptist Church, went to that same Romanian orphanage and met this same Romanian girl named Livia. And as she got to know Livia, Livia showed her a little necklace that could be made into two necklaces. And the charm on the necklace was a heart, but a broken heart, to where you could literally disengage one part of the heart from the other and give it to someone that you esteemed highly, someone that you loved, and have them wear it. They'd wear one half of your heart, and you'd wear the other half of the heart over your heart, hoping that one day the two hearts could be reunited. And this was the expressed desire of the little Romanian orphan Livia. As she gave that other half of the heart necklace to Connie, she said, maybe one day we can put our two hearts back together. Connie returned to our community wearing that little half heart over her heart. And the love for that little Romanian girl that she met did nothing but grow and grow and grow. And there was a longing she had in her heart for that little Romanian girl that she met so far away. And God put it on her heart to adopt her. It was very, very expensive. She had to sacrifice, she had to save, but finally she was able to put together enough money to bring Livia out of that Romanian orphanage to our community. She was the last Romanian orphan to be adopted out of that country before the doors closed 9 years ago. God reunited those two hearts so that they're now one. Over the heart of a mother, over the heart of a child, over the heart of Almighty God. Today, Livia is a beautiful 23-year-old girl living in Sharpsburg here in our county. She is a student and she works for Operation Christmas Child. Isn't it wonderful how God puts us on His heart? And even though we feel like we're separated from our loved ones, they're there in heaven. We feel like part of our heart is there in heaven. God one day is going to reunite our hearts because you and your loved one are on His heart. I love the singing group Selah. I have a CD that I've absolutely worn out, and one of my favorite songs on it is an old English hymn that they sing. Before the throne of God above, I have a perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is Love, who ever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on His hands. My name is written on His heart. I know that while in heaven He stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. No tongue can bid me thence depart. I think the last verse is my favorite, as it speaks of that high priest and my name being graven upon His heart. Behold Him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with Himself, I cannot die. My soul is purchased by His blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God. With Christ my Savior and my God. Since I'm on His mind, since I'm on His shoulders, since I'm on His heart, one day, I'll be reunited with Him in heaven. One day I'll be reunited with my mother in heaven. One day I'll be reunited with my great-great-great-great-grandfather Henry Lee in heaven. Why? Because He's promised as a memorial, you're graven on my mind, on my shoulders, and on my heart. And because of that, I'll never forget you. I'll always carry you. And I'll always love you. That's the promise of Jesus, our high priest. Are you here today having never known Him? As I said before, the Bible says that God showed His love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He wanted you here in this memorial service today so that you could hear about His love. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you've never trusted Him there in the balcony, if you've never accepted Jesus as your high priest here in the main floor, you can do it today. You can receive His forgiveness. You can confess Him as Lord, and you can start living for Him today. Perhaps you're here today and you know where you stand with Jesus. But maybe you're tempted to think, He's forgotten all about me. He doesn't care about me anymore. Oh, no. He remembers you. And more than that, He carries you and your burden. And He loves you continually. Maybe some of us need to come to this altar and just rededicate our lives to Him. Say, oh, God, I need a fresh touch from you. Maybe some need to come and join the life of this church. God's speaking to your heart about that. It'd be sin not to do what you know already in your heart God wants you to do. So as we bow our heads and as we close our eyes, let's listen to Jesus, our high priest. Father, how we do thank you today for the promise of your word. How we thank you that we have a mediator, an intercessor who's praying for us right now. We thank you for Jesus. And I pray now for that soul that has never trusted you, that this would be their day of salvation. Dear God, I pray for that one who has already known you as Savior, but is hurting today. I pray that they would cast their cares upon you. Father, I pray for those that are struggling with decisions, some about a church home. I pray that you would give peace that passes understanding. I pray that you'd give direction by your Holy Spirit. And as you do all of these things in our midst, we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for it. For it is in Jesus' holy and matchless name we pray. Amen.